This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in the day. And now, let's join Bishop I.V. Hillier. There is a voice guide your way. Come with
joy, we'll refresh. This is my Bible. Give me a good, happy Thanksgiving on our way to end of the year. This is my Bible. This is my Bible. We didn't do it together. It was raggedy. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
I am a believer.
Not a doubter.
I am a doer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better.
After having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
All right, in verse 16, our foundational text for this series of lessons on 12 revelations for next level living. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Now, we've been teaching from this subject for quite some time, and we have dealt with seven of these 12 revelations. It's my desire to get through to all of them before the end of the year and move into the end of the year with, of course, another series. So we've been on this for 22 weeks. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't seem like it's been 22 weeks. 22 weeks. We've dealt with the prosperity and salvation. We dealt with the revelation on the preciousness of souls. We dealt with the revelation on the potential of our sowing. We dealt with the revelation on the power of our speaking. We dealt with the revelation on the promises for our serving. We dealt with the revelations for the partnership with the Spirit. And then on last week, we dealt with the revelation on praise and the supernatural. We found out a revelation is a spiritual conviction that gives birth to courage to live your life a different way. And so on last week when we closed out that, and of course, we were able to get two messages in on last week, last Sunday morning, and then last Sunday night. And so we were able to close that out. And we closed it out with a powerful confession and ought to be rooted on the inside of you. Now, I've kind of changed mine a little bit, but still the same. You know, I'm going to take my confession into 2011. I'm going to take mine on in. Amen. Because I'm intentionally praising God. See, I put glorifying and praising God because my theme next year is maximizing opportunities to glorify God. But now you can do what you want to, because everybody's making this, you know, everybody just kind of customizing this to themselves. But because I'm intentionally praising God at all times, I'm what? Expecting. Well, see, now I got a move of God. See, I'm expecting a move of God and real soon to have more money in my hands than I've had. Long time. All right. So all I add to mine was glorifying God and move of God. Amen. So you fix it up the way you want to. You understand? Now, today, if I say today. Today is what we do with the eighth revelation, and that is the perseverance for success. The perseverance for success. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. As you leave our foundational text, just as a matter of commentary, Jesus says, upon the rock of revelation knowledge, I'll build my church. And to the degree that a believer has revelation, they will not be, you'll not be defeated. You'll not be overcome by the strategies of the devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil will not be able to stop you. We have a real adversary. And so understanding that, you know, really is one of the parts that leads into this lesson. And, of course, as I say with every revelation, this is probably one of the most important lessons of all of the other 12. But I say that with every one of them, though. Yes, I got to say it with this one, too. Amen. Perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Now, Galatians chapter 6, and this lesson is for those who feel like quitting up, quitting, giving up. And after you fight for a long time, that thought comes into your mind. How many know that, right? Amen. Yeah, so some of you, are you in the right place at the right time today? Because God sent me here to encourage you. Don't quit. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. Amen. You got to persevere. All right, there in verse 9, it says, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. The Amplified says, let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen or relax our courage and faint. So this whole lesson and the revelation I got years ago on perseverance really changed my approach to the pursuit of the things of God. Now, there's an old saying, quitters, winners never quit, and quitters never win. Now, this was drilled into my head in the secular world, you know, in school and business and industry and in my education, all that sort of thing, in my secular life. But somehow, I could never translate this over into persevering for kingdom matters, because I grew up with a flawed thinking, and many of you may have had this thinking as well, that ease defines whether a pursuit is God's will or not. That in other words, if it's hard, it must not be God.
Amen.
If it's hard, it must not be God. See, so I had this thinking coming up, and that just kind of blocked me. So every time something got hard in ministry, I'd take flight. Or if it got difficult in ministry, you follow me, I figured it wasn't God, and I was ready to give up. But now, over in the industry, I was relentless when it came to doing things in industry. Now, we've got two points for today's lesson. Point number one is a revelation on the perseverance for kingdom success, and then the resolve for perseverance for kingdom success. Revelation and resolve. Everybody say revelation. And resolve. Now, I've already gone through one class today, and they were kind of slow. They ate a little bit too much turkey, something like that. And y'all kind of feel the same way right now as I'm moving into this thing. But that's okay. I'm ready. So we'll see how far we're going to get. I didn't get to all of it, you see. But it's supposed to be a two-part lesson anyway. But we'll see how much grip the turkey got on you. Now, I should be messing with y'all. No, I ain't going to mess with y'all. No. Huh? What do you say? Huh? No. See, that's the point. That's the point. I didn't have the kind of turkey I want. We decided to do something different this year, and we thought it was going to be exciting. She clapping because she didn't cook. But we thought we would be able to go out and find us some. So, you know, we was at this hotel, paid all this money for this. That food wasn't even good, man. You know, I was happy because I had, you know, spent time with my family and that kind of stuff, but I miss my turkey. I got home yesterday, I told Terry, y'all got any leftovers? And Terry didn't even have no turkey leftovers. But he came in and said, thank you for the greens and the barbecue that you gave me. Let me give him my lesson. Y'all been missing my time. And the dressing was good. Boy, the dressing was good. It's good. So I had him go to the store and get me a drumstick, you know, a smoked drumstick. Brother got to do what he got to do. And so I heated my drumstick up real good, you understand, laid it there with the turkey, I mean, laid it there with the dressing, and, you know, it just kind of went back in my mind like it's Thanksgiving, you understand? See, I would jokingly ask if anybody got any leftovers to give me some, but then I'd be flooded, so don't do that. Okay. Back to my lesson. Now, how y'all let me get off my lesson? Okay, see, all right, back to my lesson. I'm going to take a few minutes extra because y'all took about 3 minutes. Y'all got me off. I was going, all right, now listen. Now, what really happened to me on getting this revelation on perseverance, I came in contact with a man, with a pastor in this city, Dr. C.L. Jackson. Dr. C.L. Jackson was the epitome of perseverance. I saw a visible lesson of a man who believed God told him to do something, and in spite of what anybody thought, anybody said, he had the tenacity, the spiritual stamina to obey God. I sat in the shadows and watched him do this and impacted my life. So I understood that in the kingdom of God, to bring past the will of God, whether it's in your life personally, you may never build a building, or never have an antenna, television ministry, anything like that. But to bring past the will of God in your life requires perseverance.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to see in the lesson today, that you've got to be willing to stand fast and fight and do what you need to do. Perseverance, our definition, is a commitment to the consistent, aggressive, maximized effort to accomplish predetermined tasks with the willingness to exhaust all possibilities to realize it. Y'all got it? I'll give it to you again. A commitment to consistent, aggressive, maximized effort to accomplish a predetermined task with the willingness to exhaust all possibilities to realize it. In other words, when I'm going to persevere, I'm going to give it everything I got. And then if it requires more, I'm going to find some way to give more. That's what perseverance is about. It's having a no-quit, a no-give-up attitude. And in the kingdom of God, it is required. Now, we can see a reality of perseverance in the pursuit of secular success. Now, in secular success in the world, of course, I studied successful people in the world, studied successful people and found out what they did. And behind every success story, you'll find out that there was a perseverance factor. Some of the greatest geniuses that we had were people that were really judged by people to be incompetent. For instance, Thomas Edison is said to have had attention deficit disorder. You know, his school teacher said he was kind of incapable of learning. We wouldn't have lights without the boy. So he had to persevere through a lot of folk thinking he could make it. Albert Einstein, believe this, he said he was dyslexic. You got it? See, and then I'm having trouble trying to even see it. Y'all laughing at me, you know I'm sensitive. All right, watch this. Now, listen. So now, he had genius capabilities and potential, yet there were those who thought he wasn't going to make it. But he had to persevere. Everybody say persevere, persevere. Well, now, since y'all not connected with that, let's just go a little real. Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team. Coach said he didn't have what it take to be a champion. Fooled them, didn't he? Amen, amen. President Reagan lost four primaries, one after the other. And everybody on his team was telling him to quit, but he didn't. And ultimately became president. That's perseverance. All right? Beethoven. Y'all know he was deaf, writing music for everybody else, and he couldn't even hear it. So what's your excuse? All right. So there are examples of perseverance and how it pays off in the natural. And then there's the experience that I had in the secular arena when it comes to this perseverance principle. And that is, I received an inferior education, a high school education. I go to University of Texas in Austin, turn in a paper in the English class that I made an A on, got an F on it. And I thought they was prejudiced. I started talking about how prejudiced they were. And the teacher laughed at me. See, I mean, like I was a cartoon. She said, we don't care about the prejudice, man. You got an inferior education. She said, whoever gave you an A on that paper should be ashamed of themselves. And she said, now, I'll work with you, young man. If you want extra help, I'll help you. But if you're going to cry that racial thing, yeah, that's not going to work here. She said, we didn't ask you to come here. You paid. Amen. Yeah, that's cold. But I needed it. And so I had to work extra. She gave me extra books. I had to basically cram in what I did not learn in high school. And I did it. I didn't have a problem doing it because I understood that if you want it, you got to go after it. Okay? Same thing occurred when it came to the computer industry. I started as a computer operator trainee. The guy didn't want to train me. The guy who was supposed to train me was telling the boss that I was not capable of learning. And he wasn't even trying to teach me. After everybody would leave, he would send me to what they call a decolator room. And I would go in there and pull carbon out of paper for the rest of the night. He would never show me the system. Then one day, an operator who came in and worked the graveyard shift, the 11-7 shift, he saw what was going on. He says, Ira, I see what's going on. I'll help you. But what you've got to do, you've got to work my shift free. He said, you got to punch out as though you're leaving, go down to the coffee shop, stay there for an hour until I do our shift transition, and then come back and work all night with me. And I'll show you how to run the system. Amen. Perseverance. Amen. I did it and became a good operator. No. I became a great operator. The boy was just good. It's all to it. I mean, it's good. So anyway, I shouldn't do that with my business here today. I became a good operator. So, but it was perseverance. It was not. It was overcoming the obstacles. That's what perseverance is about. But somehow or another, I couldn't equate that in the kingdom, because I had this thing that if I had to work hard at it, it must not be God. So I would quit prematurely to a whole lot of things because I had this flawed definition. Now, when I got this revelation, it came not only with me watching Dr. C.L. Jackson work and, buck the odds, do what God called him to do, but I also saw it in Scripture. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So it's a scriptural principle here, and that's exhortation on perseverance for the kingdom. It's scriptural, that God intends for us to put forth maximum effort. All right, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So I'm supposed to be steadfast, supposed to be unmovable. All that has a tone of perseverance, has a tone of putting forth effort. Would you agree? Amen. All right, now go with me, Bibles, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 is one of my favorite passages because I think that it shows us the attitude that we have to have in the midst of a faith fight or going or pursuing the will of God for your life. And there in verse 28 it says, "In nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." The Amplified reads this way, "And do not for one moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation and that from the Lord." So he tells me I kind of almost think Apostle Paul, who wrote this, he had to have a ghetto experience in fighting. Now my generation, you had to have a few, the neighborhood I grew up in, you had to fight. Okay. Thank God new generations don't have to do that. But our neighborhood, anybody else had to fight when they're growing up, all right? Y'all looking at me like, "Oh, where did he grow up at?" Right here in Houston. Some of y'all went to school with me. All right, now, I'm trying to play. But anyway, you understand that if you had to fight, you better look bad. You better look tough. You better look like you're going to whoop their butt. Or you certain to get yours whooped. Come on. I mean, you better look. You better have a mean look or something. Oh, my God. Apostle Paul saying this. "In nothing terrified by your adversary." In other words, when you're in a fight with the devil, don't you back up. Amen. Don't you look afraid. Amen. I mean, you put on your mean face. Amen. Okay, fighting with the devil. You fighting cancer, you fighting sickness and disease, I mean, you fighting bankruptcy, you fighting financial difficulty, you fighting for your marriage, you fight. I mean, he's saying you better put on a bad attitude. You better have a bad attitude, like, come on, that's all you got? Come on. Now, I read that out the Bible. So that sounds like God does not want us to have a wimpy attitude when we're going through things. Are y'all listening to me? He intends for you to straighten up, stare the devil down, stare the difficulty down, and overcome it. Not to have some pity party, invite everybody over. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to another passage. Y'all just don't want to go with me today. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Y'all try to leave me out there like, "Oh, where did he grow up? I mean, he needs some serious prayer. He needs some serious prayer." Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing what comes about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Again, there is this tone and tenor of this text that I have to work. I have to put forth effort, get back in the race, and win the race. Amen. So that's the attitude that you have to have in these coming days if you're going to lay hold to the promises of God. You cannot make the mistake, as I did early, that if it's God, it won't be hard. It's you will face difficulty climbing out of poverty. You will face difficulty trying to make a marriage work. You will face difficulty overcoming sickness and disease. And it's worth the fight.
Glory to God. Preach myself happy. So we can see it with scriptural examples in the Bible of perseverance in the kingdom of God. What example? Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. He climbed up into a tree so he could get a glimpse of Jesus. And many times those of you who are here, you're looking for the Lord, and you've have to overcome a whole lot of things that you saw in church that wasn't right. Whole lot of Christians you saw that wasn't right, you want to live right, you got to climb above that. You got to persevere. Don't you let anybody's misbehavior keep you from God. Amen. That was blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. I mean, he's heard Jesus. He heard that Jesus was on the roadside. Have mercy on me. And they said, shut up, man. Don't you shut up. He says, Jesus, have mercy. Bartimaeus, you better shut up, man. But look, Bartimaeus telling him, you ain't blind. I am. I need Jesus. You know what I'm saying? He persevered. Jesus came, stood by him, stopped right by him, stopped, had him called and ministered to him, and he got his sight. Before men bringing their friend to Jesus, they had to persevere. The doors, there were a lot of people around. They couldn't get through to Jesus. They climbed on the housetop, tore the roof out, let the man in. They overcame. They persevered. Then the woman with the issue of blood, she could have stopped because the crowd was there, couldn't get through. She pressed her way through the crowd, touched the hem of his garments. Power went into her. Her perseverance paid off, all right? So I saw that in ministry. I saw that I needed to do that in ministry. And when I began to do it, I started getting results. New Light Church is an example of that. You got to understand, with about 300 people, I told them what God said, and 92% of them left. Now, that's a good reason to give up. No. That's a good reason to tell God, I ain't your boy. Because I had told him that once before. I told him, that's for New Light. I told God one day I want ain't your boy. Because, you know, folk be fickle, you know, it be one way today and another way tomorrow. And I just got fed up with them. Just fed up. Just tell you straight up, just got fed up with them. Young preacher, God, I got fed up. I said, I ain't your boy. Get you another boy. I ain't your boy. Because I know I take care of my family. I always had no problem making money. I take care of my family. I ain't doing this because I don't know how to do nothing else, you know. So, I just told God one day, I was mad with him. I was mad with Bridget. I was mad with the church. I was mad with the city of Houston. So I told God one Saturday, you know, kind of got out of my place, you know. I told him, I ain't your boy. Get you another boy. I don't want your boy. I don't want this. Then I said, what you got to say about it? I did. What you got to say about it? And because here's my plan. I was going to quit Bridget. I was going to quit the church. And I was going to go to Ida Bell, Oklahoma. Anybody know where Ida Bell is? Okay. Ain't that too? How many know where Ida Bell is? Out of a couple thousand people there, ain't but a few people know what Ida Bell is. See, that's why I was going there. I was going to go to Ida Bell. And on the backside of nowhere, live out the rest of my life with my great-great uncle. And just not be bothered at all. And the Lord told me that night, well, son, if you're going to trust others, you need to quit. But if you're going to trust me, you'll stay with it. I decided that night I was going to trust God. People come and go. They do what they want to do. But my hope is built on what God promised me. So when the 300 dwindled down to 23, I never wavered. Okay. See if my 23, I don't see some of my 23 here today. Guess they're on their vacation or wherever they got to go. But Tanya, she was a little girl then. How old were you, Tanya, then? You remember? About 13. About 13. Well, but as far as you know, Pastor didn't waver, did it? Oh, that Peggy, was you with me then in the early days? You went to 23, but you came shortly after, didn't you? God blew you in quickly. Help me out. All right, but it's like this. One day, you're preaching to a bunch of, next day, I'm preaching just to a little people, little small group. It was like they were saying to each other, does he see ain't nobody here? like, don't he see ain't nobody here? The church is empty. I never addressed it. I preached like the place was full. We grew from that day to this day. We've never had a week in the history of our church. Our church didn't grow. That's perseverance. See, I'd already had my made. I already got a made up mind. That's what you've got to have. You got to have my heart made up that if you don't see the results instantly,
that you are not persuaded to give up, to cut back, to scale back. God's word is what it says. Amen, amen. All right, in a personal pursuit for a house. Lady B and I wanted, we were trying to get a dream house. We got turned down 20 times before we got a yes. I wasn't going to give up. Went to one guy and he said, I don't think a preacher ought to live in a house like that. But I didn't ask you for no counsel. I asked you for some money, you understand? I don't need your counsel. You understand what I'm saying? But I didn't give up. 20 no's. 20 no's. No, 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 no. But I was determined. Are y'all getting this now?
Yeah.
So you got to, see, if you don't hear, see, a lot of people think that, you know, we who walk by faith, is we confess it and bling, it shows up. That's not how it works. So if you got that misguided expectation and you've been confessing and then showed up, then the first thing was, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. This is a process that requires perseverance. You will reap in due season if you just don't quit. Come on, look at the person that said, don't quit, don't quit on, don't quit. All right, all right, all right. Same thing with marriage. Amen. We wouldn't have a good marriage if we didn't persevere. Now, I'm not talking about staying in a marriage where you've been defrauded, staying in a marriage where somebody tell you they're going to kick your head in, all that kind of stuff. That's I have to qualify that. That's not the will of God for you to do that. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Here's what you have to do. This is as a regiment. Not only must there's a reality of perseverance and the revelation of perseverance, but there's a regiment for perseverance. There's some things you've got to do in order to persevere. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. How have I developed this attitude that I have? How can you develop the same attitude so that you can stare down difficulty and still win? Everybody say still win. Yeah. Yeah. My friends, like we're making a confession, you know, because I'm intentionally praising God all times, you know, I'm expecting real, real soon to have more money in my hands than I've had in a long, long time. And it haven't happened yet. Well, it ain't been but one week. Don't give up now. All right, watch this. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press. Everybody say press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward the mark. Everybody say press.
Press.
Toward the mark. Now, this week we had the, what was that? I didn't get the right scripture. That's why him all the yummy, yummy, yummy. Philippians chapter 3. What'd I tell you? All right, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I thought that's what it was. See, I heard the yummy, 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 but nobody wouldn't say anything. Here comes some. Go ahead. Y'all got it now? I'm not going to go back and reread it. All right. Now, listen. This week, I had an opportunity to go bowling with my grandkids. I do have a life. So on Thanksgiving Day, after we had the meal, we went bowling. Went bowling with my grandkids and my daughters. We had a good time bowling. And so I think Ivan was it Ivan or Jonathan? It was Ivan. Ivan was having a little difficulty. Both of them had a little difficulty. But Lady Bridget said she tutored Ivan. So she told Ivan, don't look at the pins. She explained the marks on the lane and told him, use the marks as a guide for the ball. And it proved him right away. Okay? See, the Bible says you press toward the mark. Most folk got their eyes on the prize. See, the mark would entail things that you've got to do that are fundamental to getting you to the prize. Seven things. Everybody say seven things. Number one is prayer. You got to keep praying. Luke chapter 18 and 1 tells me that if I pray, I won't faint. Number two is praise. I got to keep praising. Don't let anything steal your praise. Amen. The Bible says, I'll bless the Lord. That's Psalms 34 and 1. Number three is planning. Keep planning. Everybody say keep planning. Yeah, keep planning. You got to keep planning. That is the only thing that That is one of the things that distinguishes that you're still in faith when your initial plan hadn't worked out. The potter does not throw away the clay because the clay becomes marred. What he does, he keeps working with the clay. Everybody say plan B. If your plan A has failed, it's time to go to plan B. Got it? Jesus was not plan A. Jesus was plan B. So a plan B can be pretty good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so when I'm in faith and my first plan didn't work, then I got to back up, regroup, and keep strategizing and come up with another plan. You follow me? All right, we had planned to raise $2 million. We didn't do it, $2 million. Well, I can't make money. If I could, I would not to make it for myself. I'm making it for myself. All right, so I got to come up with another plan. I got to ask God for another plan. Are you listening to me? I mean, that's part of the faith process that a lot of people don't understand. So when they work a plan and that didn't work, then they go, oh, well, must give up. No, you don't give up. I got to come up with another plan. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. So if I got to go through the asking, the seeking, and the knocking, it sounds as though I'm on a search.
Yes.
Look at the person that say, plan B.
Plan B.
All right. So I want to keep praying. I want to keep praising. Keep planning. Watch this. And keep professing. The Bible says, Hebrews 10:23, that I should hold fast to the profession of my faith. In other words, keep saying what the Word of God says. Keep saying what the Word of God says. Keep saying it. I remember we were believing for a car. And man, you would think things would get better. I'm believing for this car. Well, things got worse. The car I was driving. Everybody say years ago. Yeah, the car I was driving. I'm confessing I eat the best. I ride in the best I have. I go first class. Father, thank you for my car. And the car breaks. I have no money to repair the car. I keep confessing. I'm driving the church's 6 and 6 passenger bus. That's the only transportation I got. The 6 and 6 passenger school bus. The neighborhood, you know, watch people. They after me. They writing me notes. You can't park this car. It's just in front of these houses in this neighborhood. Well, like I said, do what you got to do. This is all I got. My kids didn't mind it. We go to the grocery store. When I go to the grocery store, I got to drive the bus. So I got to take up several parking places. They running up and down the aisle, you know, we have no ball. But now I'm shifting the gears, confessing. I ain't changing my confession.
All right.
I know it don't look like it's working, but I've got to believe it's working. So I kept my, in the name of Jesus, I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. I still believe I eat the best. I live in the best. I ride in the best. I go first class in life. So don't you change. Don't let difficult times and hard times cause you to change your confession. Keep your confession because I intentionally, praising God at all times, I'm expecting real, real soon to have more money in my hand than I've had in a long, long time. I don't care if you go down to zero. You got 2 pennies in your pocket clicking together. Take those 2 pennies and start laughing at them. Because I'm continually, intentionally praising God at all times. I am expecting real, real soon to have more money in my hands than I've had in a long time. What do you have to lose? That's my thing with people. What do you have to lose? I had nothing to lose and everything to gain to keep my faith at work. Keep praying, keep praising, keep planning, keep professing, keep planting. So I got to continue to give.
Amen.
Keep preaching or keep hearing preaching. Faith comes by what?
Hearing
and hearing by what? I see people when they go through things, they stay home. Don't ever stay home. No, you need to drag yourself out here and hear the word of God. Amen. And then when you're not here, don't be listening at Jay-Z, listen at IV. Keep praying, keep praising, keep planning, keep professing, keep planning, keep preaching, keep partnering, keep doing the work of God. Don't stop doing the work of God. Don't get out the choir, don't get out the ushers. You keep doing the work of God. You stay faithful. He is faithful, that promise. Amen. Now, I got to close. Yeah, I ain't get to the next part. Y'all was slower than the rest of the people. Here's the resolve. Now, if I had time to go with the resolve, this is what I'm going to deal with the resolve. Resolve is me understanding that I've got to press through resistance. Everybody say, press through. Resistance. Now, several resistance I'm going to talk about, maybe talk about next week, and that is the resistance of persecution. Folk going to talk about you. I could have stopped long ago because the folk talk about me. Follow me? Our church started saying, that church ain't going to last. Give them 90 days. Well, here we are 26 years later. And then told all kind of lies that you got there. We're going to check your credit for you. We'll let you be a member. You got to be driving a Mercedes or a BMW before you can be a member here. A lot of y'all know that ain't true. All kind of lies, you understand? And so God told me once this. It don't sound real spiritual, but he told me this. You cannot pack enough rocks to chunk at every dog that barks. They said, I don't believe God told me. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I'm just telling what he told me years ago, so I quit worrying about what folks say. Amen. I quit worrying about it. I can't do anything about it. What can I do about folk who want to lie? He over there taking all y'all money. He's a dictator. I'm not a dictator, I'm the pastor. I have a board of advisors. And every critical decision is made with my board of advisors. I have no authority to set my own salary. The law says how I have to set my salary. I have to get a compensation committee. And that committee studies people who have gifts and talents like I have in industry and say, what would their compensation be? And then based on that, an independent compensation committee has to use that as a guide to set my salary. So I don't have the ability to go in after the committee count the money and say, look, I'll take that right there. Just give me that. give me that. There are laws of the land that we have to comply with. Here's our attorney right here, sitting right there on the front row. You got it? I mean, so I can't worry about all of that. You understand? And I know y'all out there, and y'all hear it. Amen. But you can't pack enough to chunk at every. Have y'all ever watched a dog bark at a car? Y'all ever watch a dog walk, chase a car? What's the dog going to do with the car? You ever think about that? Okay, what you going to do with it? You know what the dog's greatest joy? It's when the car stops. And when the car stops, what does the dog do? And walk off. That's the way persecution in life is. People's greatest joy who tell you you can't have this, you're not going to be able to do this, you're not going to. The greatest joy is to see you stop. You have to decide, I ain't giving up. But we have to cover that next week because I got seven of those too. Things you have to press your way through. I give them to you. Persecution, problems, pessimism, people, prosperity, penalties, and pity. Pity is the pity party. Decide not to throw one. Nobody likes them anyway. How many of y'all, any of y'all do exercise here? Anybody lift weights here? You know what weightlifting and all that's about using resistance to your favor. Because your muscles develop as you move through resistance. When they get an airplane, gets ready to take off, guess what? It does not go with the wind. It flies into the wind. Because it's resistance that triggers the law of lift that calls it to take off. So when you understand that, then resistance becomes your friend. See, so it's a change of mentality. I'm sure next week, there would not be a problem if there was not already a solution because God promised, I will never let there be a problem without a solution. So I understand whenever I'm facing a problem, the solution is already there. It may have taken me by surprise, but it did not take God by surprise. That has to be your confidence that God knows. So any time that something difficult out of the ordinary happens to me, you know, I got a different mentality because I understand I must be close. Yeah, yeah. When Peter was walking on the water and started quitting, he reached out and said, Lord, help me. All Jesus had to do was reach out and catch him. That's how close he was. He was just a reach away. He was so close. See, you got to understand, when the resistance begins to mount, you're closer than you were before. How you deal with resistance defines who you are. Now, how many of y'all heard my story with the oak tree story? Oak tree story, raise your hand. How many never heard my oak tree story? See that? Y'all outnumbered. Y'all got to hear it again. I'll tell it to you real quick. Two oak trees. Big oak tree, baby oak tree. And baby oak tree always, you know, bothering, pestering the old oak tree. Am I oak tree? No, you're not oak tree yet. I got limbs like you have. Still not oak tree. I'm almost as tall as you are. Still not oak tree. Years go by. Am I oak tree yet? No, still not oak tree. Am I oak tree? Still not oak tree. Then a storm comes. Blows all the trees around. They're down. And then the old oak tree is even bent under the weight of the storm. After the storm is over, big old tree straightens out, shakes its limb, stands tall. Old oak tree, the little oak tree is bent over too. He looks and sees what the old oak tree has done. He does the same thing. Straightens up, stretches his limbs, stands tall. Then the old oak tree looks at him and says, now today, you're an oak tree. After you weather the storm, then you can say who you are. Some of you are in faith fights right now. Some of your lives depend on it. Your financial health depends on it. You got to understand that you're not alone. You got to understand you're not standing. The Bible says, after having done all the stand. This is a fixed fight. All you got to do is keep showing up. You will reap in due season if you faint not. And because I'm glorifying God and praising God at all times, I'm expecting a move of God. And real, real soon, I'll have more money in my hands than I've had. Amen. Father, we thank you. The word's falling on good ground. It produces fruit. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and believers are praying. Why heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying? Thank you so much for respecting our order. I have an appeal I want to make. The appeal has to do with being born again, becoming a part of the kingdom of God, cashing in on the opportunity that is given you today to become a part of the family of God.